As regards our sermon for this morning, I shall first be reading out of the Bible, Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Before we enter into our study, once again, let us pray and humble ourselves before Almighty God and ask for His help. Let us pray together. Our Lord God Almighty, we bow before You. We know that You are present with us, for You have said that where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus, He is there. And we know that You are the true prophet of Your church. You are the one who is able to open hearts and minds. We desire that You would have such dealings with us this morning, that You would guide us in our study. For we are yet sinners. How prone we are to misunderstand. How prone we are to interpret things that are pleasing to our flesh. And so come, guide us. May our hearts be made to rejoice in Your greatness. And may Your name be honored. This we desire through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Were you a good person this past week? Were you a good person? Well, were you? Don't be so modest. Maybe you're thinking, look, I'm not a perfect person, but I did do a lot of good things this past week, and I'll probably do a few more good things later this afternoon. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. And you know, it's not as common now as it used to be, but when a father would get home from work, his children would greet him, and what did he say? Were you good children this day? Oh, yes, Daddy. Of course, all little boys and all little girls are good all day long. All you got to do is ask Mommy. And sad to say, all too often in the South Side of Chicago, young teenage men, 18, 19 years old, they get killed because of a gang war, a fight over drugs. And quite often the news camera zeroes in on the mother and she always says, oh, he was such a good boy. You know, he was really, really such a good boy. Yes, they're all good boys. If you go down to Florence, interview some of the men down there, they say, hey, we're a group of good guys. You know, we've done a lot of good things in our lives. And we still do good things one for another. Oh, yes, we kind of messed up once, and that's why we're here. But overall, we're pretty good guys. In American history, back in the 30s, there was a man that considered himself to be a real good guy. His name was Al Capone. He was a good guy. You know what? He gave out free milk to poor children. And I think Al Capone perhaps was the very first to start a soup kitchen in Chicago. And there would be thousands of unemployed men line up to get some food at Al's soup kitchen. And he would always make sure the press was there so they could take pictures of him as he would shake hands, you know, with those unemployed poor men on the street. Of course, Al was a bootlegger. And Al did see to it that a number of competitors were brutally murdered. The book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 6 says, every man, everyone likes to proclaim his own goodness. Or you might translate the word as love or mercy. Everyone likes to talk about their own goodness. And by and large, would that be true of you? You enter into conversations, and of course you do so in a very, very humble way. Don't you like to let people know about some of the good things you've done? Not too often do you bring up the bad things. Not too often would you identify with that song that says, bad to the bone. No. We're pretty good people and we do pretty good things. But yet in our sober moments, we know that as good people, we have some real flaws. We have some real dark spots. And we know that some of these good deeds that we have done, the motive was impure. It was all about displaying self. So as you might expect, there's only one who is truly good. There's only one who is infinite, eternally, unchangeably good. And that's the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so our subject for this morning, since we've been looking at that catechism question, what is God? We come to this matter of His goodness, the goodness of God. And so that leads us to this 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus. And we work, first of all, under an outline we've been using somewhat lately. And it's the goodness of God as declared throughout the Bible. That's the first thing we think about. The goodness of God is declared throughout the Bible. And for you who are Bible students, that's not news. You know that. And so I go back and I start in the book of Exodus chapter 33. And here Moses is speaking to the Lord, and Moses is very concerned about this matter of the Lord's presence as they go into the land of Canaan. He wants God with them. And so then we pick it up. You notice verse 17 of chapter 33. The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please, show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is the place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cliff of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. And so you notice, Moses, let me see your glory. What does God say in verse 19? I'll make my goodness pass by. And then it takes place when you go over to chapter 34. And you recall some tablets had been broken. And so we'll pick it up at verse 4. Moses, so he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And you know, when we come across the name of the Lord, it has reference to his character, has reference to all of his attributes, all that he is. And so this name, you see, what does he say? The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth, and he worshiped. And so I'll make all my goodness pass before you. He says, abounding in goodness. And so this is the Lord speaking. This is the Lord revealing these truths to Moses, revealing them to us. What does he want us to know about him? What does he want us to believe about him? Well, amongst other things, his goodness, that he abounds in goodness. And we've thought about this before. Here is God proclaiming his goodness, but what have these people witnessed? Well, they witnessed God destroying Egypt economically. Witnessed all those plagues. And oh, how the Egyptians did suffer. They witnessed, they heard the cries on that one night. All the firstborn are killed. God of goodness. The God who is overflowing with goodness. And then an Egyptian army tries to follow them through the Red Sea, and they're all drowned. God of overflowing goodness. And then again and again, he chastens them, his own people. They wander in the wilderness, you see. This is the God of goodness. You say, well, you know, it sounds more like we did last week. He's a God of justice and a God of judgment. So could it be that goodness goes up so far and then justice, judgment takes over? No. God is infinitely, eternally, unchangeably good. He is infinite, eternally, unchangeably just. You see, if he wasn't just, he wouldn't be good. He would not be good. The God who is infinitely good is the God who is just. And so here we have God revealing this to us, that he is the God of abounding goodness. And of course, some of you have asked before, and we've more or less talked about it, in that shorter catechism, that fourth question, what is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, changeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And you say, well, you know, boy, there seems to be a lot of attributes, a lot of perfections about God that's not brought out. After all, we have our Bibles and we read again, and love. Now, where is the love? And where is the mercy? And where is the grace? And where is the long-suffering? We don't see it. Well, we need to remember one thing. It's a shorter catechism. And so things are rather brief. And that shorter catechism was put together, believe it, for children. Children are quickly to memorize that and then go on to the larger catechism. I don't know how many children you'd find nowadays that have memorized the shorter catechism. Ooh, how many adults would you find that have memorized the shorter catechism? And so brief, but there's something else. The old theologians, the word goodness, under that word goodness, like a big umbrella, you have love and mercy and grace, patience, on and on. You see, here we have goodness. Out of that goodness, we have these other works, these attributes of God. And so they simply made it generic. In other words, the goodness of God, it includes all these other things. And if you really want a larger definition or description of God, you go to your confession. And so I'll simply read one chapter concerning God and the Holy Trinity. There is but one only living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body, parts, or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his own immutable and most righteous will for his own glory, most loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and withal most just and terrible in his judgments, hating all sin, and who will in no means clear the guilty. Now that's just one paragraph. And if you look at that chapter, you got two more big paragraphs to go. So you see, we have just a brief description here. And so God is the God who overflows, you see, in this matter of his goodness. Goodness, well, it's an expression, you see, of how kindly he deals with his creatures. How bounteous he deals with his creatures. And so we look at some verses that bring that out, and you're familiar with some of these. You pick it up in the Psalter, and when you look at Psalm 145, we pick up these words, say at verse 8, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works." You see, this is kindness. You look at verse 16. "You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." Oh, how good. Oh, how gracious. The way he provides, you see, for his creatures. You say, yeah, I've looked at some of these creatures, and you know there are some predators. And man, are they nasty. That is true. So we must never forget, and time to time bring in, the fact that this is a fallen world. That this world is under the curse. You read about that in Genesis 3, don't you? Oh, it's difficult in this world because of man's sin. It's difficult in this world because of the curse. It's difficult in this world because the wrath of God falls time to time to time. Judgment upon the ungodly and upon the wicked. But at the same time, you can see such goodness. Such goodness. For example, I think it was some time back in one of the trees in front of my house, this mockingbird, he builds a nest. And isn't it amazing how Mama and Papa Bird take care of those little ones? Busy, busy, busy getting food, bring it in, put it right in their mouth. Isn't that good? Isn't that amazing? Of course, look at a mama, a human being. Oh, how she cares for those little ones, watches over those little ones. And so you see this matter of God's goodness, it's over all his creation, it's over all of his creatures. And then those words we from time to time come across when you look at the Gospel of Matthew, in that fifth chapter, part of what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil, on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." My, we have witnessed this, haven't we, besides reading it here? Do you not know some ungodly people? But yet, they get the rain, they get the sunshine, they get the rays at work, they get this, they get that. And what is this? Just a kindness of God. It's not a saving goodness, a saving kindness. He has no desire to save the reprobate. But yet there is that kindness, and we are to love them. And it doesn't have reference to some kind of a oozy feeling, because you don't have it. To love means you keep the law. You do not mistreat them according to the precepts of God. And so this goodness of God, we're to imitate our Father. We'll bring that out later on. And He shows kindness to the ungodly. And then the Apostle Paul, when he was doing some missionary work, when you look at chapter 14 of the book of Acts, and you pick it up in verse 16. And so here's the Apostle Paul, and a miracle's taken place. What does he say to them when they try to do sacrifice to him? Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed nations to walk in their own ways. Even though they're going their own ways, and even though they're bowing down to their idols, and although they're doing disgusting things, God was still giving forth His witness. They couldn't get away from it. You notice what is said? Who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, He did not leave Himself without witness, in that He did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And then with these things, He barely restrained them from sacrifice. But you notice, is that not the goodness of God? Is that not the goodness of God that was enjoyed by pagans? And you think perhaps maybe about your own ungodly neighbor. Do you not cringe? He takes God's name in vain and he never goes to church. But yet, he enjoys good things, filling our hearts with food and gladness. That pagan neighbor enjoys these things. That general goodness of God upon His creation, upon His creatures. And of course you might say, yeah, you're talking about this. But let me tell you, what keeps coming before my eyes and my mind is those pictures out of California, that horrible fire and all the destruction. Where's the goodness? Well, if it were not for the goodness of God, you'd have a lot more of those fires. You'd have a lot more tornadoes. You'd have a lot more hurricanes. You'd have a lot more earthquakes. The goodness of God, it restrains things, holds things down. The wicked enjoy the good things of God, you see. And so here, this matter of God's goodness, it's something that's proclaimed throughout the Scriptures. But in the second place, let's consider that the goodness of God, it's displayed. We've already indicated this, but we'll go more. It's displayed throughout the world. It's something that is displayed throughout history. And so we go all the way back to that first chapter in the book of Genesis. And here you have set forth the creation of the heavens and the earth and in one big chapter. Then the chapter 2, he begins to break it down. And chapter 3 is more detail. But at the end of chapter 1, hear these words. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. Very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. God creates the heavens and the earth, and He looks at the work of His very good. And can you imagine before the fall? Oh, the beauty of the landscape, the beauty of that vegetation. Oh, those creatures and male, female. Oh, what specimens. Oh, the goodness of God, you see. But then we have to remember, there was the fall. We can't get away from that. And sometimes that's what gets people in trouble. They forget that we live in this fallen world. And Things are simply not perfect. But nonetheless, in this fallen world, you pick up Psalm 33 and notice verse 5. Concerning God, He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Oh, yes, there's judgment. Yes, there's sorrow. Yes, there's death. But look at the goodness. Where do we see this goodness? Well, do we not see it, for example, in some of the rescues that have taken place? Have we not seen those who are rescued from it seem like a certain death? The goodness of the Lord! Do we not see it, perhaps, if you think about it, in the medical profession? Is it not the goodness of God, some of the miracle drugs that we have? The diseases that we can cure? The wondrous surgeries that save lives? What is that? Oh, we pat man on the back. Behind it all, the hand of God. The goodness of God, you see. Especially caring for His elect people. And so in creation, and things that go on in the world, we see the goodness of God. But then, as you might expect, the goodness of God is in redemption. Redemption. Remember the word goodness. Under that comes love and mercy and grace and long-suffering. The goodness of God. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Goodness. Love. God in His goodness, He saves His elect people from their sins. And so listen to a very familiar section. It comes out this way when you look at the book of Romans. It says, now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. And this righteousness of God apart from the law that has been revealed has reference to the righteousness of Christ that God provides for His elect people. Not a righteousness we can merit. Not any kind of works for it's all Christ. And the gospel proclaims Christ, His righteousness, what He has done for sinners they couldn't do for themselves. And so notice the goodness of God or the love of God. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness because of His forbearance. God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Is that not an expression of His goodness, an expression of His love, an expression of His mercy? He sends forth His Son, who in this fallen world perfectly keeps the law in word and thought and deed. The devil finds no offense in Him, can't point out any sin. The Father more than once says, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He's the sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God. Takes away our sins. He is the propitiation. He is the one who satisfies the anger of God on our behalf. Is that not goodness? Is not redemption an expression of God's goodness for us? By grace you've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Goodness of God. Mercy of God. The love of God. But then, let us think about the goodness of God in providence. The goodness of God in providence. And here we go back to the Psalter. Because it so seems that The psalmist, at times, he spent time reflecting upon the world in which he was in. He spent time, you see, reflecting upon the works of God. And so here's some words taken from the Psalm 65. Psalm 65, and I'll pick it up at about verse 9. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. What is this? An expression of God's goodness and providence. The way He provides food. You remember, I think, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it brings out, even the king's table depends upon the field. And you know that scrungy old farmer. We're dependent upon him. And I know on the East Coast, the West Coast, they look down on this flyover country. But if it wasn't for flyover country, there wouldn't be any bread on their tables. And I remember living in Kansas, Oklahoma, what have you, Kansas, the wheat state. What a glorious picture. That field waving with golden grain, and you have the combines out. How beautiful. Food! The goodness of God, you see, in providence. And then, of course, there is that special providence of God, and you're very familiar with it. You pick it up when you read Romans 8:28, don't you? And we know that all things work together for good. For good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And you remember, we considered this some time back, and we let God determine the good. We think we know what's the good. We think we know what He ought to do. He knows what is good, you see. What is good for His church. And so in the providence of God, of course, you have this matter of God and His providence, His goodness. He delivers people from great danger. The psalm that brings this out, I think, is one of them anyway, Psalm 107. And you notice how it starts out, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." And then the psalmist goes on and he gives some examples of people who are in, such difficulties, and death is near, but God in His goodness, He delivers them. And one of my favorite ones has to do with those who go down to the sea. They are in ships. And how they fear for their lives. And they'll think they'll never get out of it. But what happens? God delivers them. And they come to the shore in peace. The goodness of God. And I would imagine I might be looking into the faces of few people. You were in a situation you thought, hey, this is it. It's over. But God delivered you. God in His goodness, He delivered you. And it's interesting how the psalmist concludes this Psalm 107. He says, "Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord." You notice? Observe. And so I suggest to you this Sabbath day, the afternoon, do a little reflection, do a little pondering. Think back over your life. Think even of those unconverted days. Did you not experience the goodness of God? You did not think about it, but it was according to His goodness. You were delivered from, oh, so many dangers. Delivered perhaps from getting involved in such a terrible lifestyle. The goodness of God. And as a believer, you've had some real struggles. But yet here you are, yet professing the faith, the goodness of God. Think on these things. God wants us to think on these things. Think on His dealings with us, His mercy to us. Think on these things. And then, what kind of demands does this make upon us? The demands of the goodness of God. Well, we are image bearers. We are to reflect His image, aren't we? And so one thing we need to do as image bearers is brought out in the book of Galatians, towards the end of the book, an exhortation that goes forth this way, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. And so we are to be a people who do good. And sometimes we might get a little tired. Well, look, I'm doing good. I'm polite. I'm helpful, this and that. And no one cares. Don't grow weary. Your Heavenly Father, His goodness comes down upon those who continually take His name in vain and break His law. Don't get weary. Again, you remember the apostle said somewhat the same thing. When you look at the book of 1 Corinthians and you pick it up in that 58th verse of chapter 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so we are to be people, we ought to be somewhat known for our kindness. Kindness. Have you ever thought about very much expressing some kindness in your driving? I mean, that poor guy sitting there, traffic, he'd like to get out. Couldn't you show him a little kindness? A little kindness. And so that's what it's about, kindness. And we should be careful about those that we have close relationships with, because you remember what John, in fact, you pick it up in that third epistle, he says this, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. And you remember the Apostle Paul, he commended, for example, the Thessalonians. He says, you've become imitators of us. Consider those who display some kindness. There you have an example. Perhaps there you have a pattern. And you remember in Proverbs, it warns us, don't make a friendship with a furious man, because you'll learn to blow your temper like he does. So it says something. But all too often we kind of complain, don't we, as regards this matter of the goodness of God. And so you notice what is said in the Psalter. He brings it out this way. Speaks about this in Psalm 84. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Oh, we have a lot of things we'd like to have. Oh, they're good, legitimate things. Why doesn't God give them to me? well, maybe he's a little wiser than we are, and maybe he loves us so much that that good thing would simply get us in trouble, simply lead us astray. You trust your Heavenly Father. There is no good thing that he withholds from his people. What they need for godliness, they shall have. And as believers in Christ, concerning this matter of the goodness of God, we have a wonderful promise. And I'm sure you know this psalm by heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You notice goodness and mercy. You don't know what you'll be facing the coming week, but you can have this assurance. Goodness and mercy's with me. Goodness and mercy. And I had a friend, pastor friend, he thought about this psalm and he said, you know, it's a shepherd psalm. It's about a sheep. And goodness and mercy are two sheepdogs. And they're following the lamb. And they watch over the lamb. If he starts to go astray, run up. Blah, 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 goes over. Blah, blah, blah. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. Amen. Let us now be dismissed in prayer. Our Lord God Almighty, please help us this day to reflect upon how good you have been to us. Lord God, you have dealt very kindly with us. And we know that even those chastening times were an expression of your love for us. And so might this be indeed a profitable day as we reflect upon you as we should. We are mindful of others who cannot be with us due to sickness, due to traveling. Be merciful to them. Now the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.